We are dealing with protesting in all 50 states.
It's been a very heavy and exhausting 30 days to be Black in America.
The only corporate statement that I saw that I loved was Ben & Jerry's.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie, how to be an ally.
People are more important than property.
Your silence is saying that you co-sign on what is happening.
Instead of trying to be color blind at work, be color brave at work.
Homies.
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast. Whoop, whoop.
Was that a whoop, whoop?
It's more of a whoop, whoop.
It's a real, so, like, whoop, whoop. This is a real whoop.
So we're still in the middle of the pandemic, which a lot of the country has seemed to have forgotten about. I've seen so many people out not wearing masks, not doing social distancing. I live here in Florida. As a reminder, numbers are beginning to spike here. And then we're still dealing with the aftermath of all the things that came from the brutal murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. What we're going to talk about today is how to be an ally. We've gotten a lot of homies asking us how to respond to their friends who are not Black, who have reached out. We have people who've reached out to us personally and professionally saying, what is it that I can do to be an ally? How can I help? I'm thinking about you. What can I do? And so we're going to spend a few moments on this episode discussing that. As a reminder, you know, Demetra's a lawyer. Our disclaimer is that these are just our ideas.
Right.
We are not diversity and inclusion experts. We do not have degrees in this. This is built on our experiences, our feelings and our thoughts.
Right.
Nothing more.
So okay. Feel free to argue with us all you want in your mind as you listen.
Please argue
Do
with
not
us.
Feel free to
That's
tweet
right.
us about it. No, I'm teasing. You can feel free to tweet us about it as well. We can take
next
it.
Next time at me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it's all good. Okay, so you ready to just jump into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. So my first tip of how to be a good ally is to recognize your privilege.
That was my first tip. That's my first tip too. Okay, so we already on the same page.
This is probably the most critical step to understanding race relations. And for those of you who may be listening saying, but I don't have any privilege. I was raised by a single mom and I was raised lower middle class. The definition of privilege is having greater access to power and resources than people of color in the same situations do. That's what privilege is. So you've got to recognize your privilege. That's number one.
That's right. And I had the same tip. I think it's incredibly important to understand that you are having advantages because you're not Black, and because you're in the majority, and that's okay. I don't think you can't denounce your privilege either. Like, you can't say like, well, I don't want to be privileged.
Recognize, not denounce. Yeah.
Right. Because you don't need to denounce it. It is what it is. And privilege is just that. It affords you things that you get. And once you stop looking at it as something negative, I don't see it as something negative. It is. It just is what it is. Right. And so I completely agree with you that, you know, part of being a great ally is just understanding that you're getting into those rooms and spaces. The second point I would have is educate yourself. Everything.
Now ask your Black friends to educate you.
Right.
Educate yourself.
Right. If I had to describe a word to describe the way I feel, it's I'm tired. I'm tired of seeing unarmed Black people killed. I'm tired of systematic racism. I'm tired of hearing people say things like, I don't see color. I'm tired of people saying things like, well, let me explain that for those who not. When you say you don't see color, I think you're being disingenuous. Of course you can see color. right? You can see I have on a blue shirt or a red shirt, or so you can certainly see that my skin color is brown. And so what I hear is that there is something wrong with my skin color being that, and you're going to ignore it and move forward. And I don't need you to ignore that. I'm tired of people saying, the system is broken. The system is not broken. The system was actually set up from the very beginning to oppress people of African descent, and it still does today. The system is working exactly the way that it was created.
That's real.
And so if you don't understand that, that's okay. Like you said, go educate yourself. And every people that I am friends with and associate with who want to be allies, they educate themselves all the time on things. They read articles, they read books, they listen to podcasts. And so I would really encourage you to do this. One of the books that I think could be extremely helpful is White Fragility. Why is it so hard for white people to talk about racism? And it's written by Robert DiAngelo. And we'll put that a link to it on our website. But I just think that asking people who are actually tired and frustrated and hurting to then help you figure out how to navigate this space is unfair.
Real work comes from within for everything. And this is no different. So I love that point about educating yourself and that you do it for everything else. I think that is a fantastic point. Another way to be a good ally is to not equate loss of property and merchandise with loss of life. They are not right. The same thing. It makes my skin crawl for somebody to say, it's a tragedy, but what about those businesses? I'm like, wait. In the scale of bad things, someone being murdered is larger than someone having to file an insurance claim. Like, they are not the same thing. And I'm saying this is not going to be a popular point, but it is important because they're not the same thing. I just cannot stress that enough.
No, right. Property and people are different. And I know that's another concept that has been struggled with when it comes to Black life, because I remember years ago going to the Whitney Plantation for the first time, and the tour guide was explaining to us about how much slaves went for, and that the most, profitable slaves were women. And obviously because they breed more slaves, it's like your proceeds make proceeds, right? Your collateral of your collateral. And so I asked the tour guide, like, how much did, a young woman, go for? And I don't even remember the amount that the guide said, but he gave a number. And I said, well, what would that equate to in today's dollars? And it came out to be like $500,000 or something like that. And a white woman in our group said, well, that's a lot of money. And wow. Before I realized it, I had responded, not for a person, it's not.
No, it isn't.
And so I think it's that same thing, Bimitra. And I don't think the person was trying to be insensitive. I just think sometimes people, like you said, they get these concepts, and people are more important than property. They just are. Should and again, be. That's just an is.
Right. That's our values. Yeah.
Right. The next point that I have is use your privilege. You have privilege. We already discussed what that means. That means that you get to sit in rooms that other people don't get to sit in. That means you are a part of conversations that other people are not. That means that your opinions are sought out at times that others' opinions are not. And to me, that's when you get to not be status quo, when you get to make people in the room, at the table, in the meeting, think differently, to express an opinion, to enlighten people, if you will. It's just a great time to me that you get to actually use your privilege and to help.
There's no greater way to use your privilege than when you hear an insensitive joke or an off-color comment, that you say something instead of sitting there and thinking to yourself, gosh, I bet Demetra was offended by that. I bet Rodney was offended by that. You say something and say, hey, that's not funny.
Or I found that offensive, and so I'm sure others did too. Or when someone takes credit.
We need to be more careful about our language. Yeah.
Or when someone takes credit for someone else's idea and everyone overlooks it because they're not listening to the person because they're diverse, I think it's no problem. Like, that is such a great reiteration of, you know, or summary of what Bimitra told us last week, or this actually goes right in line with the objectives that she already gave us. But and just to me, those are ways that you can use your privilege, and it doesn't mean that you have to be combative when you do so.
That takes me nicely into my next point, which silence equals complicity. One of the biggest reasons why the country is outraged about the murder of Mr. Floyd is because of the other officers that didn't do anything. It's not just the officer who had his knee on his neck for 8 minutes and almost 9 minutes. It's the other officers that sat there, stood there, and did nothing with no consequence. That's how it is at work to be an ally, like Demetria was saying about speaking up. When you don't speak up, your silence is saying that you co-sign on what is happening. And I will never forget, after the 2016 election, someone asked Demetria at work, "Hey, do you hate me because I voted for Donald Trump?" And she said, "No, but I think you might hate me because these things are not out of bounds for you." So that silence is implied agreement.
I could not agree with you more on that. You know, or, and I would even say it this way, Bimitra, or your silence says to me, these are not deal breakers for you. So, right. So
even better.
Right. So you may not agree, but you certainly don't have any trouble with this being the.
It's fine. It's what? It's
right.
Fine.
Or you, yeah. Like, I wish they didn't do that way, but what are you going to do? Pass the pepper. You
know, that's the pepper.
Right. And so, you know, that's how I see silence on major issues of racial inequality. And, you know, I have thought that a great deal as I can honestly say, like, no, I haven't. You know, I hear a lot of people like, I'm having to unfriend people on Facebook. I'm having to do things like that. And I haven't had a lot of my Facebook friends that I disagree with, and, you know, we grew up all over, and people from all different walks who've made me unfriend them. But there's some things that I haven't seen, right? Like, I've seen some people who I consider to be very vocal about social and political issues, and all of a sudden they're super quiet. I've seen some people who had a lot to say about Colin Kaepernick kneeling, which is what he was kneeling about was police brutality, and they were outraged as an American over his kneeling, and now they don't have anything to say. I see, you know, people who were really outraged about wearing a mask in public and wanting to protest that, who were very silent now. And so to me, like, as you're saying, Bimitra, that silence is so loud now that there are these issues, and they're just very quiet.
Very quiet. Super quiet.
So my next point that I had is, if you want to be an ally, hire, promote, and support Black professionals. So as you...
Seems simple, doesn't it?
So we talked about this a little bit in the last episode when we were talking about how people feel about their organizations issuing statements. If you are someone who puts together a team, I would love to see you be... The greatest way to be an ally is to include someone Black on the team. If you are getting resumes for a job, why don't you include some Black candidates? I feel as though, and I've probably said this on episodes before, diversity seems to be the only time that really excellent people shoot for the bottom. So they want to be the best at things unless it comes to diversity. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, how bad are we? Are we doing just as bad as everyone else? People don't want to be great. And I just think there's just no better way.
The bar gets set really low.
Yes. And I just don't think there's any better way than to be what Melody, I heard Melody Hobson say one time, to be, instead of trying to be color blind at work, be color brave at work. And you be the person in the meetings, you know, putting together the teams and offering guides for continuing to see the success of other Black people in your organization. Color brave.
I love that. And as Color Brave, and I agree about the, you know, hiring, putting diverse people on your team. You know, there's been every kind of study that shows that diverse teams perform better, economically, profitable. And, you know, I know a lot of the homies are golfers. You would never play a round of golf with just your putter, because different shots require different clubs. And, you know, being at work and being an ally and having a diverse teams is the same way, right? If you get a team of all women, you're going to get a completely different thought process than if you had a team that was made up of men and women. You're going to get a different thought process that that team is made up of men and women all of the same race versus men and women of different races. So I think diversifying your team is also another good thing. My last tip about being an ally at work is participating in the DEI events that your organization has. When they send out the surveys, fill them out. Because here's the thing. Corporations, companies, organizations can't get better without your feedback.
Right.
Most of the time, it is anonymous. So it is your opportunity to tell them what they're doing wrong. If there are affinity groups or business resource groups, attend the one that isn't yours. So if you are a Black person, go to the Asian American affinity group. Go to the LGBTQ affinity group. If you are a white man, go to any of the groups and hear what the other people in your organization's experience is like. I think I shared before on this that when I first became a market president at our bank, and we got to the meeting, and there were, you know, 235 market presidents, and the president of the bank was like, "Bimitra, we're so happy to see
and
you.
You thought, you're gonna do great work in Atlanta." He knows me.
He knows everybody's name. And then I looked around the room, and I was the only Black female in the room. So these affinity groups exist because your organization is saying, we want to make this a more inclusive, inviting, and place where all of our employees can be fulfilled. So it is your opportunity to go hear and see what they're saying.
I think that's a great last point to end on. I couldn't agree more. You know, like you said, go and attend an event, and I would say, and go to listen. Like, go and listen. Go and be in there to hear what they say, because oftentimes you go to a resource meeting or you go to the diversity committee meeting and it's just full of diverse employees and there are no leaders in the room. There are no people of majority, you know, in the room. And so that's not always as productive. And so I think you're absolutely right. And just get a little, I guess I would end with this. Make yourself comfortable with the uncomfortable. What I find is everyone wants to talk about, or they're happy to talk about diversity and inclusion, but enthusiasm drops tremendously if you get into race. If you actually start talking about race, and people immediately start feeling uncomfortable and they don't want to have a conversation about race. And for us to really move forward, both as ally, you know, even with our allies, we're going to have to be able to have these hard conversations.
As always, thank you so much for listening. Please send us any feedback that you have on this episode through the DM, or you can email us at questions@corporatehomie.com, or you can email us at info@corporatehomie.com. You can find us on all social media platforms, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, wherever podcast is listening, or whatever medium you're listening to us now. And until next time,
hustle hard, homies.
The All of You Get You a Twin. Get you another homie.